This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another episode of Samosas and Sweet Tea, where this week we're going to be talking about the trigger topics of toxic masculinity, feminism, alpha, beta, that whole thing that you can hear going around all around the internet. We're going to talk about it from the Islamic perspective, as well as the realism perspective and a Muslim couple perspective. Hope you guys like it. Check it out. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Samosas and Sweet Tea, where us two wafflers are going to be touching on a trigger topic today. As we talked about, sometimes we are going to talk about trending topics that are going around and being talked about in so many weird different perspectives, and give you the Islamic opinion to the best of our knowledge and our weird opinions that sometimes you might agree with and you might not, right? Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
So, this whole trending topic now we see, where we talked about it before slightly when we talked about the gender wars. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, you see it going around. It's been going around for years with toxic masculinity, feminism, you know, now how to be an alpha. What is an alpha versus what is a beta and all of that stuff. In reality, Islam has given us solutions for all of these things. Like, I think one of the biggest problems we find and why this becomes such a cluster within our community, mm-hmm. is because we look outside of those things. We start looking for other paradigms to solve our problems, which we can't ignore the fact that there is problems, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's problems with men being toxic, mm-hmm. and I'm going to discuss why there's no such thing as toxic masculinity shortly. You know, there's a problem with, you know, women being toxic and feminism is an issue. Like, all these mm-hmm. things are issues, yes. But the paradigm that we always see it discussed is outside of the religion.
Yeah.
That's like almost like saying that Islam doesn't have the solutions.
When in fact it does, yes.
And in fact it does. So, where do you want to start? Which one?
I think we should start with you.
What about me? My toxic masculinity?
Yeah, let's start with your toxic masculinity.
Let's start with my toxic masculinity. There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because masculinity in and of itself is a praiseworthy trait. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made men protectors and maintainers. Like, that part of being masculine, of being a protector, of being a maintainer, of being a provider, of being a rock, is part of how Allah created us. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, we see with the examples of like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of softness, of kindness, of tenderness, all of those things need to be embodied into what is known as being masculine, and therefore it cannot be toxic. There are toxic men, mm-hmm. and there are toxic women, but there is no toxic masculinity and there is no toxic femininity. How do you say that? Femininity? Femininity?
It's a tongue twister, isn't it? Yeah.
Femininity. Yeah, feminism. There's no toxic feminism. You just leave that right there because this old Southern tongue cannot put that one together. But there's no such thing as, you know, a feminism and masculine being toxic.
Yeah,
it is praiseworthy traits.
Yeah, I think the fact that they've put the word toxic and manliness and men together
in itself,
yeah, it's made it, and it's quite sad actually, because now you're associating a man with something that, you know, the two don't go together when it comes to their base nature and the way we were created.
Yeah, because if a man is toxic, that's mm-hmm. because he's a toxic individual.
Yeah.
You cannot attach that to his masculinity. The same way if a woman is toxic, it's her being toxic, and you cannot attach that to her gender.
Yeah.
But we do that, and then this is where I find the hypocrisy, mm-hmm. is that we do that, but then we get mad at people when they attach things like terrorism to Muslims.
Oh yes, that's a great point. Yeah.
We it's a double standard, mm-hmm. because we'll say, oh no, judge Islam by its tenets, not by its practitioners,
mm-hmm.
right? The same way you have to judge masculinity by its definitions, according to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and not by men. You have to judge feminism based on the attributes Allah has created women with and have, mm-hmm. have praised them for, and not by the women themselves. So I find that a big double standards, because you wouldn't want people to say, oh, you're a Muslim, so you must be a terrorist. No, we say, don't look at Muslims, look at Islam. It's the same way with feminism and masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look at the way Allah created us which is with equity, mm-hmm. not equal. You know, this is where we're going to get, you know, we're very close to the lines yeah. here. Uh-huh. There is no such thing as equality between two different types of people. There can be equity. And this is what Allah deals with us with. Mm-hmm. He deals with us equitable, not equally, because we're not the same.
Mm-hmm. I think, like you were saying earlier on, my biggest issue with all this is that we've adopted like these Western ideologies on words. These feminists that you guys are using, the words you're taking on, their fight and our fight is completely different. There's so much double standards within them. Like, for example, let's just say like these women that you're, you know, putting yourself into the same group as. So in France, you have like sisters who are fighting to keep the hijab on. You have it in India too. And then you have it in, obviously, in Iran, where they're fighting for their, you know, rights to take it off and do what they want with their bodies, which is fair. Everybody, you know, can do what they want. But my issue here is that these feminists that you're associating yourself with, they will not speak up for the sisters in France and they will not speak up for the sisters in India. But yet they will. I've seen this online, actually, where they actually are saying to Muslim women, why aren't you taking off your hijab in solidarity? So you are associating yourself with this form of feminism, but they are like absolutely crickets when it comes to the fight for us to actually have our rights to actually keep the hijab on. So, you know, they're cherry picking and you're associating yourself with these people who don't even, you know, within themselves, there's so much division as to what they believe feminism is.
Well, it should show you that these ideologies are a farce in and of themselves, mm-hmm. because and this is with both sides of the spectrum, you know, conservatism or liberalism, they both have their very negative points, but they tell you that it's freedom of choice as long as you choose what we agree on.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's freedom of choice. They'll scream for freedom of choice, like my choice to take my hijab off, right?
It's selective.
What about my choice to keep it on?
Yeah,
you don't support my choice to keep it on, but yet if I follow your agenda and take it off, then now you're supporting my choice. Yep. This is the problem. Yeah. That's not a real choice. That is a fallacy of choice.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Just like human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a free will, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means we can choose to do whatever we want to do with our lives. But those choices come with consequences. Those mm-hmm. choices come with consequences. And that's the thing, is the individual responsibility rather than this mass adoption of ideologies mm-hmm. that has become problematic, is that everybody uh-huh. has to be responsible for themselves.
The problem is that we've basically fallen prey to the agenda where our worth and value is based on what society is pushing. So that's my issue with it, because before it all started with the beauty and fashion industry, so where it was all about objectifying and sexualizing women, and now it's like the new form has become feminism, basically, because, you know, we've already fallen into that trap. I mean, look at all of us sisters now, and, you know, just women in general, like how much have we changed? We fell into, let's say, back in the days where it was like everybody was obsessed with being like stick thin, and, you know, you had to pluck your eyebrows and all this other stuff, and then, you know, it was all about dieting, and then it went on from that to like plastic surgery, which is rampant now, like, you know, Botox, fillers and all this other stuff. And all of it, this is an agenda that they're pushing, and you're just falling right into what they want. And the next thing right now for them is feminism, in the sense that they want to break the genders apart, when we're really, in reality, we need each other. We complement each other. Like my femininity and your masculinity go well together. That's how we work. And from that, it will break down into breaking up a nuclear family. Like, it's all a plan, and it all, like, everything interlinks with one another to cause like a breakdown in society. But nobody sees this. They just, you know, they don't think. And I just don't understand how you're not seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah, we are partners. We're not mm-hmm. we're not equal, nor would I want to be. But that, not say that's the thing that drives me nuts, is that as soon as you say things are not equal, all of a sudden now one is better than the other. No. Nobody's saying that. Mm-hmm. They're not the same. It's like saying the day and the night are the same. No, they're not. They're not the same. They complement one another. We couldn't have day all the time. Couldn't have night all the time. Just like there's an old cliche, too many cooks in the kitchen. That's what happens when you create this everybody's equal scenario, is there's too many cooks in the kitchen now. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. there's too many people trying to do the yeah. exact same thing mm-hmm. and it's not complementary. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men and women as complementary to one another. But yes, it is a fact that Allah gave a man more responsibility. And that is not, I've tried to say this in so many ways. Like, that responsibility comes with huge repercussions if you don't fulfill it correctly. Yeah. Like, yes, Allah says, I made men maintainers and protectors over women. But that means, as we talked about in another episode, that I get the honor of not only taking care of my family, but I'm going to be dragged in chains in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment and questioned about it. Whereas a woman, we know from the authentic narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if she prays her five daily prayers, fasts in the month of Ramadan, you know, takes care of her obligations, and her husband is pleased with her, she'll be told to enter paradise through any gate that she wishes.
Yeah.
Where is that for
me? I know. I was joking.
Where's
about
that for men? Yeah. Like, that is that to me, that's not equality. That's unfair. But it's Allah's equity. Mm-hmm. It's Allah's equity. Why? Because I'm the one that has to go out here and take care of all the other things, and you don't have to pay a single thing if you don't want to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, your wife is allowed to work and earn her own money, but if your wife decides that she wants to sit down and do nothing all day long except take care of the home and her children, you got no choice but to get out there and take care of your family, because Allah gave you that obligation. So there is equity, but I don't want to be equal. You know what I mean? There's no way to be equal.
Yeah, but there's also the double standard and hypocrisy now that you're talking about the fact that you are a protector and maintainer, and I want you to be my protector. Like that example I told you once, like, you know, when you traveled, and our daughter always says this to me when my husband leaves to travel, is that during the day she's fine, but at nighttime, and this, I mean, nobody said anything to her. This was, you know, she just said this herself, that she misses her father the most at night, because she feels as though if he was at home, she would feel more safe. And I never told her that. And I said, oh, mommy's strong.
It's natural disposition.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is just the way we were created. And also another thing is that a lot of women, when it comes to feminism, it's like, my body, my choice. But when it comes to a man's body and his choice, he doesn't get it. Let's just say, from the Western perspective, if there was a war to happen right now, you would have no choice but to be drafted.
Or even, let's take the example, you want equality instead of equity.
Yeah.
Somebody breaks in our house in the middle of the night, and I'm going to poke you and say, hey, go take care of that burger
in our house.
Yeah,
I am absolutely not going to. I expect you to do that.
And most women are going to expect the man to get up out of bed and do that.
Yeah, and I have no shame in that, but I respect my husband, because as men, of course, they're fearful. He's going to have to go out and protect his family. He's a human being. They have fear, but, you know, that's his role, and that's what I expect from him.
That's the fulfillment of, like, what Omar said, that a man should be like a lamb or a sheep with his wife, but a lion when she needs him to be. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine. I can be tender and, you know, explore. There's no such thing as my feminine side, you know, but explore my tender and kind and all that side. But when it's time to handle business, like if somebody broke into our house, but that's where the lion needs to come out. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. I need to go handle that. Mm-hmm. Or if we get into a situation where, you know, somebody comes to mug us on the streets, like, it's my job to protect you guys and step in front of that. You know what I mean?
And that's not to say that women should not know self-defense. Something 100%. I push. Women should know how to protect themselves.
But if your husband is with you, that's his job.
That's his job. Exactly. That's like if I'm going out to the supermarket, I always feel more comfortable when my husband is there.
And that's where the whole beta effeminate men thing comes into play. You think you want an effeminate man until you get mugged on the streets and your man is the first one to run screaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's reality.
You know, there comes a point where a woman likes to be challenged a little bit. And if you do have a bitter man, like, I don't want somebody I can walk all over. I want to fight sometimes. I want to be challenged. I want to have, you know, I want those pheromones to come out. Like, you know, I want a manly man.
Yeah, there's a reason why women have pheromones and men have testosterone as the majority of their chemical composure, and they should complement each other. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't understand how a woman could want a submissive, effeminate man. Like, I don't. Yeah. What is attractive about that?
This is something I find really, I guess, you know, maybe they want a 100% yes man. I don't even know. I find it hard to relate to this myself. Maybe when I was younger, like, you know, you want somebody who's... I think the lines are skewed because I can't even actually articulate what I want to say right now, to be honest with you, because it's almost like you want a man who has to say yes to everything you want. But aren't you going to get bored after a while? I don't know.
What if they say they want someone who's a simp over them? And brothers, let me say it before we get too far. There's nothing wrong with simping.
There's nothing wrong with simping.
There's nothing wrong with simping. And there's a masculine, manly way to simp over your wife. You don't have to be an effeminate beta to do so. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can be in truly enamored with your wife and simp over her and still be a man.
I think an issue is what's happened now is either you're a simp or you're toxic. What people are missing now is that you can be, there's a, like a line in between both of them, and that's what a man should be. And stop putting them into these like categories of a simp. A simp is just what, and essentially what you're trying to say is a person who's, you know, catering to your emotional, mental and physical needs. By the way, I hate to break it to you, but that's what a masculine man should do. So basically, essentially what you're wanting is a masculine man, and a man that, you know, the way a Muslim man should be. If you look at the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, was, he was a great warrior. He was a great romantic man. He was a great, you know, father. So, you know, I don't know why we're putting on and adopting all these silly labels.
Or to say that stay-at-home moms are weak, and that's a form of weakness.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I've seen that. A lot of feminist women now look down upon stay-at-home moms, and I'm like,
I would not want to trade that. Like, I, now that, you know, when I travel, I guess I didn't see as much of it. Mm-hmm. But now that I've been at home all the time during the pandemic and see what it takes to be a stay-at-home parent, mm-hmm. a stay-at-home mom, like all the things you have to do, like, bro, yeah. that is like, it takes a strong woman to keep yeah. a household together, especially if you have children. Like there is no proper salary for that, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's a six-figure salary if you look at all of the skills that you need to have to do that. Mm-hmm. and that is, again, supposed to be complimentary. But what is the agenda? The agenda, I'm going to say this as politically correct as I can, the agenda is to get both the man and the woman out of the house, mm-hmm. so that the children become wards.
Yeah.
And you're not raising them anymore. They're not being raised with your values. They're not being raised with your morality. They're not being raised with your knowledge and wisdom. They become mm-hmm. wards. Why? Because both parents are out of the home and your children spend the majority of their time with someone other than you. You get to see them for a few hours in the afternoon, and then you put them to bed, and it starts all over again.
Yeah.
This was the agenda from the beginning. Oh, this it's was not also, about, it's yeah. not so much about us.
Mm-hmm. It's about the children. It's about the children. Because once you control the children, you control society.
Because they're thinking ahead. Yeah. They're thinking ahead, right?
We never do. We're short-sighted.
We don't. We're so short-sighted. They're thinking ahead. They're thinking, that, you know, generation, what is it? What was my generation? Well, I don't know what my generation is. I think you're
probably,
the old
know.
People, the yeah. older people. They know that we have our minds made up, right?
Yeah.
But children are malleable. If mm-hmm. we can get all of the children, then we have the whole next generation. And when these old people die off, we own yeah, everything.
Exactly.
And we fall right prey to it. Mm-hmm. So they pick and prod at us through, you know, movies and television and magazines, you know, all of these things, social media, etc. They pick and prod at us to be at war with each other, when in reality, while we're at war with each other, they are stealing our children. And that's what we yeah. need to be worried about.
And that is very scary. And I think that's one of the reasons why me and you, especially during the last few years, decided to look into homeschooling a lot more deeply.
And, yeah.
And as far as talking about, you know, being a housewife, I mean, I've done both. I've worked and like now I'm a stay-at-home mom and homeschooler. And, you know, it is a really, really hard. I remember when I used to work and I used to come home and I used to always think to myself, how much time have I wasted away from my daughter? I used to be emotionally drained from dealing with all the stuff in the school districts and stuff. Yep. And, you know, and I just didn't have much of myself to give. My cup was full. So, you know, for the women out there that work because they don't have a choice, I know it's hard and you deserve double the reward. But if you ask them, I think a majority of them would agree that, you know, you do miss out on so much of your children's lives because of it. And, you know, it's an honor and I see it as a blessing for me to be able to be the person that teaches my daughter and our sons things about our deen. Because for me, I see that as like an easy way to gain good deeds. Like after my passing, everything that they've done, essentially, you know, I've robbed you of that chance in some way, haven't I? Because you travel a lot. Is yeah. that it's all come from me. So,
yeah.
You know, there's so much goodness in it.
That's part of it. You know, and when it comes to, you know, this whole situation of equity, if you look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given men responsibilities, given men, you know, certain praises, given men certain rights, given men certain obligations, in equity, he has given women certain rights, mm-hmm. certain obligations, certain praises. I mean, you cannot trump the rights of a mother.
No, you can't
trump
no,
the rights of a
no.
mother. Like, no matter how much I love my children and they love me, your rights are always going to supersede mine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, parents have the, after Allah and His Messenger, parents have your first right. And in the order of that is, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, whom do I owe more respect to, my mother or father? He said, your mother. He said, then after that, he said, your mother. He said, then yeah. after that, he said, your mother. Then mm-hmm. after that, then your father. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so where's the equality in that? You know, men should be up in arms like, bro, what happened here? But I understand it.
You understand it because
I get it because of what you just talked about. Yeah. You know, what you just said.
You are the teacher, essentially. You are the nurturer. You are the one who protects their heart. You're the one who understands them. Like, let's just say, for example, children all the way up to, you know, when they start speaking in the little baby language, who understands a child better, a mother or a father? I could like understand her complete sentences she's saying and nobody else would understand it. Like, she loves you. She's a daddy's girl. But when she was younger, in the sense that when it came to her emotional needs, I was more in tune and aware. And that's because I carried her for 9 months and then I breastfed her. So obviously I'm going to be more in tune with her in that aspect.
Yeah, but then in turn, just because you have those rights, that your mother has more rights over you than your father, does not mean that I'm relegated to some, some section. But that's the same way that, just because Allah says men are maintainers or protectors of women and gave them them a station above them in that respect, doesn't mean women are doormats. You know what I mean? Yeah. That is where the line needs to be drawn, you know, and that needs to understand that men who go above and beyond that, you're a toxic individual. That does not have to do with your masculinity. That is toxicity in and of itself, because masculinity would not, to be masculine means that you give people their rights as well. You give people their rights as well. You give everybody their respect. That was part of what my grandfather taught me of being a man. And that has nothing to do with Islam. My grandfather was not a Muslim. Mm-hmm. But he used to always tell me that part of being a man is that you give everyone the respect that they deserve unless they give you a reason otherwise. Mm-hmm. You give everyone the respect they deserve unless they give you a reason otherwise. And that is the way it should be with men. Like, we give respect and we gain respect where we have earned it. Like, at the same time, a lot of men get called toxic, right? Because they demand their rights, but they're not willing to fulfill their obligations.
That's it. You hit the nail on the head. That's the problem.
I want all of my rights, but I don't want to fulfill any of my obligations. That's where feminism has a problem. Yeah. Where I want all of my rights, but I want none of the obligations. Mm-hmm. And that does not how it works. That's not how it works.
We're supposed to
As a man, if I want my rights, I need to fulfill my obligations. Mm-hmm. As a woman, if you want your rights, you need to fulfill your obligations. That's just the way the world works.
Yeah, the reality is that everything that I do as my role as a mother and everything that you do, 90% of it is interlinked. Everything I do, if I cook, clean, you should be cooking, cleaning. It's not a segregated to this is female or that's male. When it comes to the emotional needs of our children, it's both of us are in it together. Most of the time, people, I think, why they have an issue with Muslim men is because they stick to just the physical aspect of, if I'm providing for you and I'm physically taking care of you, then there's nothing else I need to provide.
Yeah.
And they relegate everything else. But we need
to be
able
to be interchangeable.
Yeah.
Like, if you get sick or don't feel well, I need to be able to pick up and clean and cook. Like, I know how to cook. Anybody who's watched my socials know that I know how to cook. Mm-hmm. Like, I can cook for my kids. My kids like my cooking. Like, these days, when they get married, they want another mother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? True. That's the problem with this beta mentality is they get married and they want another mother. They don't want a wife. Like, bro, if you cannot cook and clean for yourself, you know what I mean? Like, that is a problem of your own doing.
Well, not
like, you
just need to be able to take care of yourself. Let me just say one more thing is that after I gave birth to our daughter, I had like a pretty long labor. And it was a bit brutal. I was in hospital for 3-4 days. I don't even remember the first 6 hours after my daughter was born because I was just completely exhausted and I slept. I didn't change her first diaper. I did not give her her first bath.
I had to step up and do everything.
He had to do everything.
It's my job. That's just part of being a man.
Yeah. So, you know, like, you got to think about these things. It's not like I was a woman, I'm your wife. If I was in a position where I could not do it, what would you do?
You got to do what you
got to
do.
You got to do what you got to do. And I know you need there's to be a
lot
of,
unfortunately, a lot of brothers out there, if their wife gets sick, they're eating takeout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If their wife's getting, and that's not cheap, or you're asking your mom to cook you some food, like, you are a grown man now.
Yeah, and teach your sons and daughters. The reason the sons are like this is, you know, okay, can you blame to some degree the parents? Yes, but don't blame everything on your parents. I mean, you got the internet at your hands. There's so many people out there.
When you become an adult, you can't blame your parents for stuff anymore. Yeah. You have to own up and man up to
other
your
things. Other than trauma and stuff like that you've, you know, had to suffer from at their hands, there's nothing else that you couldn't have learned yourself.
And you got to recover from it. Even I had to learn that hard lesson. You got to recover from even childhood trauma at some point. You can only use it as a crutch and excuse for so long before you realize it becomes your undoing.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? So this is, you know, it's a big problem that's going on today. Also about this whole alpha mentality, which we've touched on briefly before, but you know I have very strong opinions.
Yeah, you do.
About this whole alpha mentality. And I don't have a problem with any individual. Mm-hmm. You know me. You know me for no, long enough don't. To know. I don't have problems.
If you
problems
have a problem, you'll tell them.
If I don't have problems with people. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I'm looking directly into the camera for this one. If I have a problem with you personally, you'll know it. Because I was taught as a young man, if you have a problem with someone, you take it to that person. You don't go blabber about behind their back or on the internet.
But one of the worst things that I've seen that's happened in the last, I don't know how long, but God, it makes me cringe so bad, is men behaving like gossiping little schoolgirls. Like, you're sending indirects on Twitter. Seriously?
Sending indirects, chatting, you know, indirects at each other, shots across the bow on Twitter, shots across the bow on Instagram and on YouTubes and back and forth.
To me,
it has become melodramatic.
Yeah.
And it is, it's not masculine.
It's
There's nothing masculine
it's a
about it.
It's turn off.
And I'm not saying that's only a feminine trait, sisters. Don't.
No,
don't
yeah,
have
we're
a
not saying
me.
That's it. It's just the best way to describe it, you know.
It's just not manly.
Yeah.
Men deal with each other directly. Men deal with each other directly. Like I talk about the story of Bilal and Abu Darda.
Yeah,
When Abu Darda did Bilal wrong and basically called him the N-word and realized how wrong he was, he didn't write him a letter. He didn't go say, oh, hey, so-and-so, you know Bilal, go tell him I'm sorry. No, he went and found him in the most busy place in Medina, fell on his face and said, I'm not getting up for here until you put your foot on your face and embarrass me the way I embarrassed you. Men deal with stuff like that. Like, if you have a problem with me, direct it at me.
Yeah.
Direct it at me. And if you don't know me well enough to direct it at me, then you don't know me well enough to have a problem with me in the first place. So what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But back to what I was saying. So I don't have a problem with any individual, but I have a problem with the way this whole alpha and red pill thing is being packaged, right? Because it's like you're giving the highlight reel. To be an alpha is to, you know, is to do all the fun things. Let's go drive fast cars. Let's go jet skiing. Oh, let's go horseback riding. Let's go archery and camping in the woods. And like, bro, that is fun stuff. I wish I had the time in my life to do that stuff. Being an alpha, right, means handling your business. The number one thing about being a man is taking care of your responsibilities. That means the people who are in charge, you are in charge of. Like, my number one responsibility is taking care of you and these three children that we have. Mm-hmm. My responsibility is making sure this roof over our head stays here. Food gets put on the table. You know, boo-boos get kissed. You know, things that I'm the tech support in the house. Like, something goes down. Like, and that's not something you can go and glamorize on Instagram, is it?
Yeah.
I can't make a... Even though I've seen that one, there's this one guy, the one comedian guy who makes those glamorized videos of like the hard things they want to do, Trey something another. I've showed them to you before.
I don't remember.
Where it's like he glamorizes like the horrible things that parents have to do and makes them into like highlight reels. Uh-huh. And I find it absolutely hilarious because that's what a lot of this red pill is packaged as. And I'm sorry to tell you, brothers, but if that's what you're looking at to be an alpha, you're probably looking in the wrong direction. And if you need to take courses on how to be an alpha, then there's a problem first and foremost already. You know, part of being an alpha is taking care of your responsibilities, taking care of the people who are under your charge. I wish it was as fun as the highlight reels. I'm not saying that isn't part of being a man. You know what I mean? That is the fun part. That's what you get to do after you've taken care of your responsibilities. But I'm just very... very worried that that's the way it's being packaged. And
okay,
that's all the young brothers
think.
I'm
going to inject over here, but just one point is that I disagree with you on the alpha coursing, just on this one simple point, is because some people do need it just because they've had no male figures in their life.
I'm not saying they don't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if it's only teaching you the highlight reels, then it's not really setting you up for being a man.
Yeah. But, you know, back to what I was saying is some men do
setting
actually
you up
need
to be
it.
A lad, not a man.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. And just let's also say archery, horseback riding, this is not just for men. Being a badass woman is not just, you know, all this stuff when it comes to skills and fighting, it's not just for women. Like, women, we need to look at, firstly, all our rights were given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn your rights, use your rights, you know, enforce your rights in all aspects of your life. Like,
demand your rights.
Demand your rights.
But within the frameworks of the religion.
I know, and there's so many amazing women to look at. Like when you think about, when I think about a strong woman, and I just think, you know, normally I always think about the battlefields, and I think of, you know, or men should only know about self-defense. No, I actually make sure our daughter now knows about self-defense, and I myself need to get a little bit back, you know, into that aspect and start learning it from you, because clearly that's your field. Is that, you know, I don't know if you know the story about Nusaybah bint Ka'ab. She was a great warrior. She was a great mother. And, you know, she went on the battlefield, and she was the, in the, I think it was the battlefield of Uhud, that she defended the Prophet, peace be upon him. Like, she defended our beloved Prophet, that he said about her that in every which direction I looked, she was there defending me. Not just that, she avenged the death of a son in that battle too. So just think about these beautiful women, or the story about Hawla bin al-Azwar, I think her name was, forgive me about names, people, I'm really bad with names. And it was Khalid bin Walid, who is known, one of the greatest generals to ever exist. The West will speak about him because he was just so amazing at what he did. That when she was, it was, I think it was a battle with the Romans, that she came in like an arrow through the, you know, through the ranks, and he was just mesmerized by who is this soldier who, you know, basically has no care in the world. And first she was known to be a nurse on the field, and she did all this because her brother was taken in during the battle. And then when he found out who she was, he was just taken back because he was impressed by her. And this was also a woman. So, you know, we're not just relegated to this, you know, soft, feminine, emotional side. You know, when we need to step up as women, we will step up, you know, and we should be able to.
This is where the equity comes in, is that we have both sides. Like, men, they're overwhelming, you know, characteristics should be to be a man and to do things a man does, but he should also have a soft, tender, gentle, you know, side. Women, their overwhelming characteristic is, you know, is to be more soft and be a feminine, things like that, but they should be able to step up and do what they got to do, because that goes for like the single mothers and single fathers out there. Like there's there's a lot of fathers out
one
there.
One of the greatest women out there was a single mother, the first wife of our Prophet, peace be upon him. Single, she was mothers, a single, single mother.
Mothers have to be mothers and fathers.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have single fathers out there, and who have to be single father. They have to be the father and the mother.
Yeah, and I believe because of what she went through, and, you know, she became, you know, self-reliant in the sense that she was a businesswoman, that a lot of sisters that are on this feminist hype.
But she wasn't the independent, I don't need no man.
Yeah, no, because
when the Prophet came along, she saw him out.
She was the one that was his emotional support, and she is the one that lifted him up and supported him and said that you are the chosen one. So it was her that reinforced his beliefs. It was a woman, and it was
she sought him out.
Yeah, exactly.
She sought him out, and he loved her so much that she made women like Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the best of women of mankind, jealous.
I know. I love that.
After she was dead and buried in her grave.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. That,
you want to talk about
a love,
and you want to talk about, you know, a baddie in that sense. May Allah be pleased with our mother Khadija. To make women jealous of you when you are dead and rotting in your grave, that is boss status. And that is what she had with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like she was a woman. She was his comfort. She was his consolus. But she was also her own woman. She was a businesswoman. You know, she
covered him, basically. Exactly. She covered him like a garment, emotionally, mentally, physically. She uplifted him. She was a reason why he was able to do it. Yes,
they weren't
exactly
equal.
Yeah,
there was equity.
And in return, you see how he loved her and he held her at such a high rank.
Because the problem I see, especially with both the Alpha Movement and the Feminist Movement, is that we're seeking our rights outside of the religion.
Yeah, and it should be within the religion. That was a point I wanted to make at the beginning, is that everything that you guys are asking for has already been answered towards in our religion. And all these feminists are fighting for rights that you've already been given. We were given the rights to our last name, to inheritance, to property, to pretty much everything that they're fighting for. We already have it. The issue you have right now is a issue that is occurring due to the cultural impact that has happened on Muslim men, and that's within our communities, and we need to fix that within our communities and stop, you know,
we need to address that within the framework of the religion.
Yeah,
because if you think that you need things outside of the religion to give you your rights, that means you have problems with the religion itself.
Yeah,
and that in and of itself is such a super dangerous idea and statement. I mean, it borderlines on disbelief, and I'm not someone who can say it can it does or doesn't, but to say that Islam is not perfect when Allah says Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Dinukum, this day I've perfected your religion for you, our religion is perfect, we don't need to add anything from it or subtract anything away from it, just need to apply it to the best of our abilities.
I heard a saying once, that if somebody tried to enslave your body, you would fight for your freedom, but you let them get your hand over your mind so easily. And that's exactly what's going on here right now. And this whole thing with the alpha and feminism is that they're enslaving your mind.
Yep. And some of it is, you know, a knee-jerk reaction of, you know, men being overly, you know, overly oppressive.
Yeah, which they are. The women would not be in this state. And
we're not saying that doesn't happen.
It does happen.
You can't blame it on the religion. No. Nor can you blame it on all men.
No, you can't. I hate that saying that all men are trash. Yeah. And you guys can say to me, come at me saying, oh, well, we mean this. No, you should have some respect. This is that, when I find that offensive when you say that, I find that offensive because I am the daughter of a father. My daughter, you are my husband. I don't think that about you. I have brother. We have brothers. We have uncles. And I just find it disrespectful. I don't care if you're trying to say it, just, you know, you don't mean all. It's just a generalized saying. No, it's disrespectful.
It's a general. The generalization, that is, we are suffering from a dysphoria of generalizations in our world today. Because of the acts of groups of people, we put it on everybody.
Yeah.
But then if it happens to Muslims, we are up in arms. We are up in arms, such a double standard. Like, not all Muslims are terrorists. Not all Muslims are Arabs. Mm-hmm. Like, we fight that left and right in the da'wah scene, but then all men are trash, or men who have been done wrong by women, all women are trash. No. There are men who are trash. There are women who are trash. There are people who are just horrible individuals, but that doesn't get painted over an entire society. The same like with racism. We see that within racism now. Mm-hmm. You know, this race is trash, that race is trash. Bro, you have to call everything as where it is. Specificity, not generalization. You cannot overgeneralize, because when you overgeneralization becomes oppression. Because in overgeneralization of an issue, you end up casting that onto people who don't deserve it, and that is called dhulm in Islam. In the Quran, that's called darkness or oppression, and you can't do that. You have to call it out where it is. And men, along with pushing, you know, that men need to be more alpha, which we do. Yes, we do. The effeminism of men is a huge issue that needs to be addressed. Along with that, we have to be fair-handed and also calling out the toxic traits that men are putting forward and trying to use the religion to justify.
Yeah, 100%. I was about to say men have issues.
We need to call it. That's the problem, is that we're not fair-handed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not fair-handed. We're not saying that men need to be more alpha. Yes, but you men who are using your alpha, whatever terminology that is, to be oppressive towards your women, need to be checked.
Yeah.
And vice versa. You know
Same
what I mean?
With like women, yeah.
We need to address it with an even hand. Yeah. That's what women, and I can understand that. That's where women are getting upset when I want to talk about alpha without addressing, you know, the things that men are doing.
I think
using
you mentioned once
women.
Before, and we were speaking about this a couple of days ago, is men severely lack emotional intelligence when it comes to understanding a woman. Do not get married to a woman before you have some emotional intelligence within you.
But also, like, realize women, you will never understand women, brothers. Never.
But, you know, don't come in all surprised and shocked and then, you know, start, you know, retreating backwards because you're just so overwhelmed and you just don't know what's in front of you.
And don't get married if you want another mother or slave.
Yeah.
She's not your mother and she's not your slave.
Nobody can love you like a mother. And I'm saying this because a mother will do anything for a child. And I'm saying, and so when you're getting married, she's not your mother and he's not your father. Like, this is weird where you're trying to fill in this.
It is weird.
You're trying to fill in mommy issues and daddy issues a lot of the times. And it's extremely weird.
Yeah, we can talk about it another time when it comes to mother's issues and daddy's issues. But, you know, you're not marrying a slave either. Like, if you want brothers, if you want a wife who is only going to be your subservient, obedient slave, then you're in it all wrong. You're in it all wrong. Like, your wife is going to annoy you. She's going to challenge you. She's going to call you out. She's going to do it. Like, that is just the way it is. And that also keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
That keeps me on my toes. You check me from time to time. You've checked me, you know, from time
I love
to time.
The way you corrected yourself there.
You check me from time to time. And it's needed. It's needed. If you didn't, you just sat here and watched me just do any and everything because, you know, you feel like you don't have the right to speak to your husband like that. Bro, you could just let me go down some, you know, dark road. One of the greatest things that a spouse should want for the other one is to make it the paradise.
Yep, exactly.
That's the greatest thing I can want for you and you can want for me is to go to paradise. So if you see me doing things that need to get checked, they're not going to get me to my destination that you and me want to go to, then you should check me on that. And I shouldn't have so much insecurity that bothers me to the point to where, like, oh, how dare you? How dare you? You should be like, how dare you? You know, I have the right. Like, I am not your property.
Exactly.
I am your spouse. And the same way, brothers, should, you know, you should be able to, you know, check your wives at times, but you should know how to do it appropriately. You know, it's not the same as you being, checking your wife is not the same as checking your mate.
Yeah.
Men and women are different. We are different. You need to learn the right way, the right times, the wrong times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things about that, you know, that you need to learn. Like, you know me, you know my moods now, you know when there's times 100%. To say things. I know you, I know your moods, I know the times when I should address things, and there's other times where just gotta let that go, you know, and just gotta take that for right now. But it's and part also, of life.
Women need to understand like the base nature of men and realize that they are very different from us women. Like, men are
just wired differently.
Yeah, we are, especially when it comes to more emotional attachments. Men are more logical, women are more emotional, and you have to come to terms with that.
Well, that's the reason why we're having so many conflicts, is we're not coming to terms with our natures and working within those boundaries, working with our natures. If you understand, and we're not generalizing either.
Yeah.
I'm not generalizing.
No, not all men. Yeah. But, not all women.
A lot of men are logical, and that's the way Allah created us, because, you know, we're supposed to take care of things and go to war and do things. We're supposed to be out there. And women are more emotional because that's the way Allah created them, and that makes them the best mothers. That makes them, you know, the...
And great wives, because great let's just say that... Because
if we were both logical and there was no emotion, our kids would be wrecks.
Yeah, exactly. Like you were just saying, and you know, we're great teachers in that as well, because when it comes to the compilation of hadith, the person that has the third largest is Aisha. Mm-hmm. May Allah be pleased with her. And what is she known for that? And if you wanted to know about the Prophet, peace be upon him, where did he learn about his characteristics and everything? It was from her, because she lived with him. So you just see like the importance of a woman once again. If you look at history, women, don't look at all this new stuff that you're trying to look at. The reason why you know about a woman is because of his wife.
Yep. And that's it. We just have to work within the framework. And you know, when a brother comes and tells me like, oh, my wife is so emotional, I'm like, welcome to being married.
Yeah.
Welcome to being married.
And women, we have to be kind of, you know, understand ourselves a little bit. I don't know about most women, but me, myself, for 1 week out of the month, like for a couple of days, I'm a roller coaster.
I'm on my P's and Q's.
I'm a roller coaster, and I don't like it about myself, but it's just the way I was created. Sometimes my body just kind of takes control over the mind. So, you know, we know what we like. So sometimes kind of be conscious about the fact that, you know, I know what I'm like. So,
and brothers, you know, understand that. If you grace. Don't understand that, and we're grown here, we're talking about, you know, the menstrual cycles women go through.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't know when that is and the things you that it does know, to your wife, you need to figure it
like
out
very
quickly.
My husband sometimes has to tell me, I know what's about to happen with you, because he can just detect the change in my, like, you know, up and down mood. So, you know, you should be able to do this and act accordingly.
Yep, you should. Be able to act accordingly. There's going to be patience. Time where you're going to have a little bit more patience. You're going to have to watch your tongue. You know, your wife's going to be more and more snappy. Like, okay, like that's part of her anatomy. And that's that anatomy is what allows me to have my beautiful children.
Yeah.
So, you know, have some respect for that.
And Allah
says in the Quran, give reverence to the womb, the arham. You know what I mean? Like, you understand that.
So, you know, my husband shows me grace, understanding your patience during that period. And I always joke around and I say to him, I'm a submissive wife. Like, because these days you can't even say the word submissive because they associate with the word slave.
I know.
And I'm pretty sure he doesn't think I am. Anyway, to the point I'm trying to make is because he treats me like that, I'd have no shame in knowing that, you know, there's certain catering I love to do for my husband when I know he needs some, you know, like, you know, it's, for example, something small as that. I like to do his like coffee stuff in the morning for him, or, you know, at night. I know he just sometimes wants me to come and sit next to him when he's gaming because, you know, he wants to not be alone. It's just little things like this. Just learn your husband. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with, you know, wanting to cater towards him, try to make his life a little bit easier.
And there's nothing wrong with understanding that men, you know, their number one thing is they want respect. You know what I mean?
Oh, respect is huge. That's all a man wants.
They want to be respected, because especially now, especially in today's world, mm-hmm. where men are getting trashed on so much, you know what I mean? They're getting relegated to the back corners, and especially fathers, and, you know, we've talked about that in the core system, etc. Like, men just want a little bit of respect, because we're out there, you know, putting our lives, we're supposed to be doing all these things. You want a man that does what Allah wants him to do, but then it will give him respect for doing it. Not only respect, we just want a little acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Men want respect and acknowledgement. They want to be acknowledged mm-hmm. for the stuff that they do, and that does not take a tremendous amount. Like,
no.
Your man, sisters, your man likes to have his ego stroked every once in a while, and that does not degrade you
in
any way. Just like brothers, your wife loves to be complimented.
Yeah, she loves to be desired.
And I don't care if you've complimented her about the exact same thing 1,000 times, get ready for 1,001 and 2 and 3, and because it's just the way women are wired and mm-hmm. the way men are wired.
Yeah.
If you acknowledge those things and we start off with that, then that's the way we should do it. But you should be willing to put in the work in order to get the rewards. You cannot show up at not show up for work all week and then turn up on Friday and asking your boss, where's my check? Yeah. He's gonna be like, what work did you do? Mm-hmm. The same way men, if you want your rights, fulfill your obligations. Sisters, you want your rights, fulfill your obligations.
Exactly. Simple.
And we can work together in partnership and in harmony mm-hmm. to make this world a better place, rather than it being a constant battle of us fighting one another yeah. for who's better. On the day of judgment, we'll find out who's better. Yeah. Until then, let's work to make the world a better place.
Communication is key. If you're not voicing it, you're starring it. And when you're starring it, it's going to turn into resentment.
Communication. When you don't communicate in your marriage, it is dead. And it is on its way out. That's what I've learned is communication is key. And that was very hard for me as being someone who's bottled everything up for his whole life, is learning to communicate. But it'll get you into a lot of hot water, brothers. So learn to communicate.
Yeah, pick your words like really wisely.
Like, usually women don't have a problem communicating.
No, they don't.
The men, we over-communicate.
Everything comes out.
But brothers, learn to communicate. And it's just helped so much. Like, even when I'm having bad days, you know, I come and I tell you.
Yeah, you tell me.
Like, right away, I'll tell you, I'm not feeling it today. So that you understand that the temperament I'm on today. And you know that if I'm a little bit more moody or whatever, it's the same like a wife coming and let me know.
I don't take it personally.
I'm on my period.
Yeah.
Then I should know. If you wig out at me for no reason, yeah. I'm like, okay,
I know. One minute I'll be like, I despise you. Next minute it's like, why are you leaving me? Come sit next to me.
Yeah, and I realize that that's what it is. I mean, you get used to it.
Yeah.
So, but we got.
And also, women. Just like another thing is that women, as much as you don't want to admit it, we are actually born with value, and men have to earn it. Yep. And you know, and that's quite a sad situation for men as well.
And that's what I've told.
Because men are essentially disposable. Women are always going to
make them earn it.
Yeah, make them earn it.
Make them earn it.
Women are always going to be desired. We're always going to have more to offer, and men are always going to want us. You are going to have to earn it. You are disposable and replaceable, unfortunately. Yep.
But you should make him earn it, because mm-hmm. what is cheap is not appreciated.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, value yourself as women.
Yeah, what is cheap is not appreciated.
Yep.
It's disposable, because I can get another one if it's so cheap. Like, if I buy a $5 watch, mm-hmm. I'm not going to take care of it. If I smash it, I can go get another one. It's $5. If it's a $5,000 watch, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be very careful with it. So we've waffled on again.
We did.
We're nearly 50 minutes in.
Oh my gosh, this was supposed to be 30 minutes.
It's supposed to be 30 minutes. We are waffler extraordinaires.
Yeah, sorry.
We're gonna get the number one waffler award.
But
the whole point, to wrap it all up, is, you know, this whole thing that's going around, these trigger words, alpha, beta, feminism, toxic masculinity, like, they're all just trigger words to help mm-hmm. fuel the gender war. When in reality, if we fall into that, we are only falling into the greater plan.
Yes, we are.
The greater plan. We are better together than we are divided. And no matter what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama mu'minuna ikhwa. That is not gender specific. It means mm-hmm. that the believers are but family. Mm-hmm. Ikhwa, even though it means brothers, it means in general the believers are family. We're like blood relations. We're closer than blood relations, and we should treat each other with that same respect. And the overall, I guess the biggest lesson, as we said, is if you want your rights, fulfill your obligations.
Yeah.
And if you fulfill your obligations, then demand your rights.
And we're not negating that there isn't an issue. There is an issue
there's
an issue why women feel like this, and we acknowledge that. But what we're saying is keep it within the parameters of the religion and
don't generalize.
Keep it within our community. What you're asking for these Westerners to fulfill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given us the answers to all of this.
And they don't have the answers anyway.
And they do not have the answers, clearly. And they clearly, you know, don't want good for you, basically.
They don't have the answers because they change their
yeah, they're so hypocritical, for example.
They change your ideals by the week.
By the week, yeah.
They change your ideals by the week. Yeah. But what we have learned, especially during the pandemic, is that we are falling victim to the real game, mm-hmm. which is they want our kids.
Yeah, 100%.
Protect the children.
Yeah, protect your children.
Protect your children. A strong mother and a strong father at home working together is the best place for children to be upbrought.
Mm-hmm.
Not by the system.
Yep.
System don't care about us.
They don't.
All right, let's go before we get banned.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to.
we'll figure out what we're going to talk about in the next one, but who knows? Like I said, we're going to talk about topics that are trending. We will touch trending topics because, you know, we have stuff to say because we talk about them to each other, but we also talk about topics that need to be talked about. This is probably not the last time we'll talk about this issue because it does need to be addressed, you know, the things that are wrong. Like I said, we should be even-handed, but, you know, we'll see what goes on. We'll see what happens in the next one.
Yeah. Maybe a marriage might be a good one.
Who knows?
Seeing as we've been through it.
Who knows? We're just winging it as we go. And if you guys like it, hit a thumbs up. Let us know you like it. Comment down below if you liked it, and if you didn't like it, comment down below as well. It all helps the algorithm. And let us know what you think we should keep on discussing and talking about. And as always, maybe we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. It's your most precious commodity. Take care of yourselves. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.